Please be opening your Bible to Psalm 119. I don't know if he should have set the bar high or low. It's kind of like on all your financial statement, past evidence does not equal future results. That's for the old people. Well, good morning. Okay, we need to start off with something here. I don't know what the normal tradition is, but normally when somebody says good morning to you, it's rude not to say good morning back. Good morning. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I know many of you don't know me from Adam. That's another old-time expression. I'm old, okay? I have a problem, and I told Mike this. My father-in-law, who's an elder at a church in Tennessee, he looked at me a few years ago, and he said, Mark, you probably shouldn't do any more young people stuff. He said, you're too old. I'm like, thanks, Pops. I don't call him Pops, I admit it. My mom, I'm like, thanks a lot. And when Mike and the elders had invited me, I called him. I said, guess what? And I said, I know why, because my maturity level matches teenagers better than it does 50-year-olds. But I have shoes older than some of you, most of you. And so I hope that doesn't discredit me from you listening to me this morning. The theme for this weekend is, how shall the young secure their hearts? In Psalm 119, beginning in verse 9, that we'll be reading this often this weekend. And right off the bat, is there anybody who would mind reading this stanza? Psalm 119 from 9 to 16. I have a volunteer. Even an old person? Mr. Andy, go right ahead.
How can a young man cleanse his way by taking heed according to your word? With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimony as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word.
So this morning, we're talking about the idea of are you listening? How many of you know your name? First interactive question. All the young people raise their hands before the old people. The old people have forgotten their names. That's why we're starting off right. Well, some of them may have. And that may not be something to joke about. Do you know why you know your name? Your parents didn't sit you down and look at you and go, now, Avery, this is your name. Did I get it right? Is your name Avery?
Yes.
Your parents didn't sit you down and say, okay, Avery, here's the test. What's your name, Avery? Avery? You know, that's not how you learned your name, was it? Your parents began calling you by your name before you understood your name. That's one way that we learn. We learn by just soaking things in. Now, in other ways, you sit down and you say the quadratic formula. How many of you remember the quadratic formula from Algebra 2? How many of you hate Algebra 2? More hands went up on that than, yes. Some of you who haven't been in algebra yet, just wait. But that's a different way. You learn your name different than you learn how to solve quadratic equations. But it all involves listening. It all involves hearing. So, my first question to you this morning is, what do you like to listen to? What type of music do you like? Give me a group. And the young folks up here, give me a group that you like to listen to. It's okay to say something other than David's Psalms in Bible class this morning. It's okay. Nobody's going to send you to hell this morning if some old person said Foreigner, which you guys have no idea who. Is anybody in the first four rows know who Foreigner is? Okay, so I got some old classic rock people. So what do you like to listen to? Or do you listen to music? Any of you like K-pop? Okay, so at least you know what I'm talking about. That's good. I am not completely out of touch. So what do you like to listen to? Give me a group. 21 Pilots? What else? Okay, I knew I got nothing there. So what if I'd played some Chopin this morning? I've actually got it on my phone here. You want me to play it? Oh no, what's he gonna do? Is he actually going to play music? So how many of you want to go to sleep? Any of you like Chopin? What about, how many of you like jazz? You know, now I could play some soul or R&B or rap. I might get fired if I played rap, considering I know the person that I'm staying with this morning. But people like to listen to different things. But the question is, do you ever end up, this is for the old people. Uh-oh, I messed up. That's supposed to be a video playing. That's Peppermint Patty and the Peanuts. And for you old folks, this is for you old folks. What happened in the Peanuts cartoons when an adult spoke? Wah, wah, wah. Now, why? What was Mr. Schultz saying about young people and adults? We don't want to listen. Why don't young folks want to listen to old folks? They think they know it all. Wow, such transparency this morning out of the young people. How many of you old folks thought the same thing when you were young? Notice how many hands went up. Did you all see how many hands went up? They used to be young too. How many of you don't believe that they were ever young? They were... Now, what's said in Bible class stays in Bible class. There is we believe in non-self... Never mind. So if I turned on jazz this morning and you hated jazz, what would you do? Turn it off, put in your headphones. Have you ever noticed how many folks walk around with headphones in? I mean, it's not just cool because they got Beats on. I actually have a set of Beats. Earbuds. Yeah, I'm cool. It actually has better sound than some of the other things that I've had. I really like to listen to music. But I noticed just on a recent vacation how many folks walk around only listening to what they want to listen to. So if I put on Buddy Rich playing You Gotta Try, some people go, like, oh, that's cool. Other people going, what kind of noise is that coming out of that cell phone? I don't want to listen to that. What was the name of the group that you like? Stick? Oh, like old sticks? Like Mr. Roboto stick? Wow, I like this kid. I like this kid. They're from Chicago, which is close to where. Nice. What if your friends don't like it? Nice. That's very nice. A lot of folks would say, I'm playing it anyway. I don't. Not everybody likes to listen to the same thing. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. There are passages of Scripture that we need to consider this morning when thinking about listening. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 15, Jesus says a statement, and he repeats this statement many times through the Gospels. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. What does that mean? He's not actually asking, do you have an ear, Van Gogh? See what I did there? Many of you are like, who? Huh? What? There was an artist who cut his own ear off. If you have ears to hear, hear, which means what? Of course, we're in Bible class. Who should you be listening to? Not me. Thank you. I figured that was a softball question up there, and I'm like, okay, we've had some good interaction up to this point. But what? When somebody says, are you listening to me, are they expecting an answer? You know what type of question that is? It's called a rhetorical question. A rhetorical question is the answer should be obvious. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Are you listening to what I said? How many folks, I mean, you've studied the Bible for a while before. How many folks actually listened to Jesus while he was on the earth before he was crucified? Now, in Bible class this morning, are we listening to Jesus? Duh. Of course we are. But how many people would have said the same thing in Jesus' day? Of course we're listening to God. Of course we're listening to God. So the question is, are we really listening? Are we just listening for what we want to hear? Are we listening for what we like to hear? Now, this isn't the only passage. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. After telling the parable of the sower, how many of you would have thought that you would have understood the parable of the sower when Jesus said it? Thank you for not raising your hand, because how many people, you know how many people understood him? Big, fat zero. Nobody understood him. I thought this guy was supposed to be talking about God, and he's talking about seeds and rocks and thorns and such. Agronomy. We're talking about soil. What does that have? We need to start talking about God here, Jesus. What was he talking about? When he says in verse 9, what does he say? He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Well, I heard you, but I don't know what you mean. How many times have your parents ever looked at you and said something to you and you go, what? Or you've tried to use, here, this is mine. Mom, I didn't hear you. Or husbands and wives, honey, I didn't hear you. See, this applies to them too, not just up here. Is it because my ears were defective? Let me tell you a story. I had a great uncle. This is back 1,000 years ago. He had hearing aids. And he worshipped at a different church. And my mom could sing alto. I mean, she could crease paper. She could sing so loud. And one snowy Sunday morning, we walked into church. And, of course, we were late because it was snowy in Kentucky. And so we had to sit up front. Why people sit all the way in the back of a church, I'll never know. But right here was where we sat, next to the front row. My great uncle was on the front row, and he turned around and he saw that my mom and us, we came to the city church that morning, and the song leader put Home of the Soul up. How many of you have ever sung Home of the Soul? You know about the alto lead? Well, my great uncle, he turned around and saw that my mom was sitting physically, literally right behind him. And guess what he did with his hearing aids? He reached into his hearing aids and he turned them down because he knew my mom was going to let it rip on the chorus. She sang from the heart and it was of praise to God, but it was going to overwhelm my great uncle's hearing aids. He didn't. Now, I can't imagine how loud that would have been in those hearing aids. How many of us like to do that with God sometimes, though? We don't have hearing aids, but we turn our hearing off. Or how many times do we do that with people? Adults, your favorite or least favorite politician starts saying something. What do? Wah, 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 wah. See, that's the genius of what Mr. Schultz did with that. It's not just funny, it's instructive. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. He says it again in verse 43, after explaining and telling people about more parables. In verse 43, then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of the Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. When somebody says, are you listening to me? What are they trying to get you to do? Are they actually asking if your ears are working? Pay attention. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is there something different? Is there a difference between listening and hearing? You could hear that jazz music playing, but do you really want to hear the changes? Do you really want to hear the, oh, he improvised on that last 8 chords. Huh? I went music geek on you, sorry. Oh, look. Oh, they changed keys here. I like it. Oh, the bass took off on this one. My father-in-law, I'm picking on him this morning. My mother-in-law loves the symphony. He literally fell asleep the first 15 years they had tickets to the symphony. Literally fell asleep. And when he would snore, my mother-in-law would give him an elbow. But you know, he started listening more. And he told me, he says, actually, it's kind of cool because now I hear the theme. How many of you have done any know about classical music and know that there are themes that are sometimes that are presented in the first movement, and then they might change them up in the second or third movement, and in the fourth movement there's kind of a resolution or a fifth, you know, and there's a and you're like, how close do you have to listen? You have to listen really closely. You have to be intent on listening to try to get it, because you're probably not going to get it the first time. So my question to all of you, how many of you obeyed the gospel the first time you heard it and understood it? Not many. Not many of us are like the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, does that mean we weren't listening? No, it doesn't mean we weren't listening, but sometimes things take a while to sink in. Like your name. How long do you think it took for you as a baby to understand your name? It took a while, didn't it? Sometimes the gospel works that way too. And just in case we haven't understood it even more, turn to Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, we're going to look at more passages of Scripture. When Jesus says things over and over and over again, there might be a reason. How many times, young people, have you heard your mom or dad or whoever you live with say the same thing over and over again, and you go, rah, 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 rah. Why do people say the same things over and over? Because it's important, or they want you to hear it. It may not be important to you, but haven't there been some times when your parents enforced some importance into you that you didn't think was important? So in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7, wait a second, hasn't he already said this a couple of times through the Gospels? He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Now, when he was talking in the Gospels, who was he talking to? Anybody? His disciples and the populace at large. Whoever would listen. Who's he talking to in Revelation? Christians. So how long do we have to listen? Okay. They're not going to listen to us right now. This is just us right here. Nobody's going to hear. How many times have you seen one of your parents get upset with the other because they weren't listening? Generally, the wife says something that the husband doesn't hear. How many times have you heard? That often, huh? Really? Even if they've been married for 20 years and they love each other and he just took her out to a nice Italian dinner the night before and he wakes up on Saturday morning and doesn't listen to her, she still might get mad? Really? But honey, we just had some pasta fagioli last night. Isn't it? How often do Christians have to be listening? He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. He says it in verse 7, in verse 11, in verse 17, in verse 29. And then in chapter 3, he says it again. So when you go through this circuit and he says this all the time, what do you imagine the point is? How many of you in public school have missed an assignment because you literally didn't hear? Because you were texting your friend, or you were writing something, or doodling something, or doing homework in English that should have been done before. It happens, right? What are some problems that you get for not listening? What are problems that you get into for not hearing? Anybody ever gotten in trouble for not listening? Anybody want to share one? No. Exactly. Out of the mouths of babes. Because nobody wants to incriminate themselves. I get it. Now let's ask a Bible question. What trouble did the church in Ephesus get into for not listening? Turn with me back to in chapter 2, to Revelation chapter 2. Had they listened to a point? After all, they're Christians, right? They are Christians, and they had been Christians for a while. In verse 2, I know your works, your labor, your patience. You can't bear those who are evil. You've tested those who say they are apostles and not. You've been persecuted. You're doing good. You've listened for a while. But had they really listened all the way through? Have you ever gone through one of those exercises where the first part of the directions it says, read all of this page. And then question number 2 is, some quadratic formula, some thermodynamic question. Then question four is some calculus thing, and this is in the, and you get down to the last one, the very last one at the bottom of the page, or maybe on the back of the page, it says, don't do anything, turn it back over and smile. And you see your friend. And how many, have you ever done that? And how many people start giggling after about 5 minutes? Because we don't read the directions. I know women always read the directions, right? Yeah, okay. The church at Ephesus had read or heard up to a point. Maybe up to a point they were comfortable with. But they stopped. Because in verse 4, Jesus says, I've got this problem with you. You're doing all of this. Maybe it's comfortable. Maybe it's something that you like. You've done all this to a point, but you're not doing it out of love. You're not doing it out of love for me. That's a problem. Duh. Jesus says it's a problem. Of course it's a problem. But how do we come to understand and listen that listening is an important aspect for all of our life? How shall the young secure their hearts? Making godly decisions. How do we make godly decisions? We make godly decisions by knowing what Jesus wants us to do. Some of the problems we get into is to think, well, I know what Jesus wants me to do. He wants me to do what I want to do. How many of you, when you get out on your own and you're paying your own bills, are going to make your bed every day? Raise your hand. Why not? How many people like to make beds? There's a couple. Freaks. I'm just kidding. You're not a freak. Well, yeah, you are, but I don't want you to feel bad. Guess who makes his bed every morning when he's the last? My wife and I, we have this bargain. The last one out of the bed makes the bed. It's not a race every morning to see to get, you know, 30 seconds out. But I make my bed every day. You know why? I don't do it because I like it. I do it because my wife likes it. Now, what possible reason would I tell on myself like that? Some guys would be saying, wimp. That's woman's work. What possible reason could I have for telling you that about myself? There's a point here about loving God. When we love somebody, we will learn to do things that maybe at first we don't like to do. And we'll listen long enough and appreciate long enough till we'll start doing things that may not come naturally. I mean, think about the point that the Ephesian church had gotten to. They had tested the folks, the apostles who had called them liars. They had persevered. They had had patience. They had been persecuted. They'd gone through all of this. But yet Jesus says, you still aren't listening well enough. You still don't love me enough. How long does it take to listen to God? How long were the disciples with Jesus when he walked on the earth during his earthly ministry? Do any of you know how long that was? 3 years. How many of them got Jesus on the day that he was crucified? You understand what I mean by that? How many of them understood him? Zero. What, 3 years? What, are you deaf or something? What, are you dumb? You're like cotton in your ears? Boy, what's wrong with you? How many of you have thought that sometimes about different people? Have said it in Bible class. Maybe said, well, if I'd have been at Sinai, I wouldn't have made the golden calf. Or if I'd have been in Ephesus, I would have loved the Lord. Got to be careful. We got to be really careful. Because all of these people were good-hearted, many of them good-hearted, and they just hadn't listened well enough or long enough to get it. The whole purpose of this weekend is to try to help us all start to get it more. So I have to give some credit here because this is brand new and fresh construction because I asked for it. So we're actually going to use it. So we're going to do something called reverse brainstorming. Any of you know what this means other than Mike and Jan? All right, I'm going to ask you this question. What can we make sure and do so that we do not hear and can easily ignore Jesus? That's not normally a question folks to ask in Bible class, is it? Folks don't normally ask this question in Bible class. Why? Because we want to do just the opposite. Well, there's a point. I want you guys to give me things that we can do, attitudes that we can have, so that we can make sure and ignore Jesus. Yes, young lady? All right. I apologize to this whiteboard that my script is the first thing going on here. Yes. Oh, wow. We went big on that one. And I'm not making light of suicide, but that was just not one I was expecting this morning. What else? Yes, sir. Say that again. Okay. So I hand. Yes, sir. All righty. I'm going to put to get drunk up here. What else? Yes, ma'am. Read your Bible and pray every day and grow, grow, grow. How many of you know that song? Now, why would we teach little kids that? Why would we teach little kids that? Why would we teach little kids that song? Put it on their minds so that what? Maybe when they turn 16 and maybe when they turn 66 that they'll actually remember that. Because if you adults have ever known anybody who walked away from the Lord, and every one of us who've ever lived very long enough have, when people walk away from the Lord, what are the first two things they quit doing? Reading the scriptures and praying, right? So you teach little kids, read your Bible and pray every day and grow, grow. And then you teach them, neglect your Bible and forget to pray and what?
Train.
So if we absolutely want to ignore Jesus, let's definitely not read our Bibles. Here are other hints. What are some other hints? Yes, ma'am. Ooh. Now, who do you suppose wants us to make excuses? Oh, come on. You know, we're only human. Who wants us to make excuses? Would Jesus want us to make excuses? No. All right, you remember Matthew chapter 14, Peter's out in the middle of the water. And he's walking out to... Now, how many of the other apostles are walking out to Jesus in the middle of the storm? None. And he starts to sink. And what did Jesus say? Do you remember what he said to him? Why did you doubt? I mean, he could have said, well, at least you made it this far. Andrew's sitting back there in the boat all high and dry. That's not what he said. He said you should have more faith. All right, there were other hands. More ways that we can make sure and ignore Jesus. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Oh, this is my hand. That's short for Christians. Just yes, sir.
Harden your heart.
Harden your heart. I saw more. Nick? Oh. Is it just being with worldly people? Because how are we ever going to evangelize people if we're... What should I add here? Be with worldly people to participate. I like it. Sir? Ah. Wait, there's even an eraser. Ice. Yes, ma'am. Selfish. Yes, sir. Going to where? Okay. I'm going to say participate in false doctrine. Well, yes, sir. How many people are right? Wait, just me? Wait, now why is it mostly guys put up their hands right then? And most of the women said, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. Wow. Yikes. Yes. Now, most of these things we would say in class this morning, we're not going to do that, right? Most of these things we would say, I would never do that. I would never go to that end. How many folks do you think at Sinai, when God showed himself, how many of the folks do you think at Sinai would have said, you know, in a month and a half, I'll probably end up worshiping idols? How many of the Israelites that saw God's glory and saw the Red Sea parted and had tasted of the water that he provided, how many of them do you think would have said, you know, in a month and a half, I'm probably giving up? None of them would have. How many of them did? Most of them. Why? Why the disparity? Why a month and a half previous they'd said, all that you say we will do. We want to be your people, God. And one of God's top ten was, you will have no other gods before me. You will not have any graven images before me. And you will keep yourselves pure. And then a month and a half later, whoosh, tossing that out. So what changed in a month and a half? That was a rhetorical question. Because we don't know precisely what changed with everybody. Turn with me back to Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to share something very personal with you. Because I'm sure everybody's just loving to listen to me for 55 minutes. What if I told you this morning there are passages of Scripture that I don't like? You ever heard a preacher say that before? There are passages of Scripture I don't like. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23 is one of my top 10 I don't like this passage of Scripture moments. Could I volunteer to read those three verses? Man, woman, I don't care. I've had people that I love, people very close to me, turn their back on the Lord and the simple New Testament pattern. Getting serious here real quick, huh? And it breaks my heart. And you know one of the temptations? Well, maybe it's okay. Maybe it's okay. Maybe Jesus really didn't mean what he says. Take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself. Maybe it'll be okay if we do what we want to do. Maybe it'll be okay if, well, I mean, I love them, right? Well, they have to go to heaven if I love them, right? I don't like that passage of Scripture. Not only does it bother me because he's saying it to folks like us, and he's saying, listen up. Because you can come at me with all the works that you've done, all the times you've been to church, all the folks you've talked to about Jesus, all the young people lectureships that you traveled far and wide to hear some ne'er-do-well from Indiana talk. You can list all these great things that you've done. But what might Jesus say to us because we weren't really listening? If that doesn't humble us, I don't know what will. And it's got to start with me. Now, I don't like it because it requires a lot out of you and me. It requires a lot out of me, and it requires a lot out of folks that I love. I've had folks look at me and say, Mark, what does that mean about my mom? You know what my answer is? I don't know. But what I do know is there is a God in heaven who sent his son to die for our sins, and he doesn't want anybody to be lost. But he does want us to humble ourselves before him. And so the question is, what do we do with things that we don't like to do? So when your parents or the government tells you, you have to do this or you have to do that, how many of us like paying taxes? How many of you guys up here have jobs? You remember your first paycheck? How many of you were surprised about a thing that you'd never heard of before called FICA? All the adults laugh because they realize that the government comes for the people who get paid by check first, right? You don't even get to see. Wait, I thought I was getting 10, 15, 750, whatever you were paid. And I thought, wait a second, I worked 30 hours in the last pay period. I get paid $10 an hour. My check should be, math question, $300. Guess what it wasn't? It wasn't $300 because you have all these deductions. I don't like it. Hey, raise your hand if you like deductions. Even the lawyer didn't raise his hand. Sorry, Randy. Had to take a shot this morning. Because we don't like something that we hear, does that make it go away? If I put my noise-canceling headphones on and start listening to jazz music, or I listen to music that I like, does that make all the noise around me go away? I can confuse myself into thinking that it does. I can think, well, I only like what I like, therefore, I'm only going to listen to what I like to listen to. How dangerous is that? How dangerous is it only listening? Adults, are you listening this morning? How dangerous is it to only listen to what you want to hear and call everything else, I'm going political for a minute, and call everything else fake? What did the Pharisees do with Jesus? They called him fake news, didn't they? And who was the fake news? What do we do with things that we don't want to listen to? We block them out. How dangerous is that spiritually when it's coming straight out of the book? Now, I told you I don't like Matthew 7, 21 to 23. But that doesn't change it. There's a lot of folks in a lot of different situations that don't like passages of Scripture. I studied with a fellow one time, and he said, you know, you and I are going to agree a whole lot, but when we get to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, we're going to have a problem. And you know what I thought to myself? Oh, great. Great. Because I don't have a problem with 1 Peter 3, 21. I got a problem with Matthew 7. And let's be honest, we all have problems with passages of Scripture. Whether it's selfishness or I'm always right or I like my money or don't give me anything I don't like. Now, I know none of you have had children yet, right? What happens if you only feed your little baby what they like to eat? Some parents do this now. That's why chicken nuggets and mac and cheese are on the top of every kid's wish list, right? What happens if you only fed your kid Cheetos and Dr. Pepper? Sounds good, right? How many of you like... No, you're not the celery eater, are you? Oh, of course you are. Great. Well, too many Cheetos and too much pop have been inside of my body. That's why you end up looking like me. But what happens if you only feed your three-year-old Cheetos and Dr. Pepper because that's all he likes? They're going to wind up not growing very well, are they? They're going to get sick. What happens if we only feed ourselves what we like to listen to? Are we going to be healthy spiritually? The whole purpose of this weekend is how can we become secure in our faith? How can we get to the point that we have not just a confidence that pleases us, but a confidence that pleases God? And it starts off with listening. When my wife was young, there was a preacher, and he asked this question, another rhetorical question. He says, I know you can hear me, but are you listening? And when she told me that story, I went, whoa, that'll preach. I'm going to save that one. I know you can hear me, but are you listening? It's almost as if God is saying that over and over and over again in the Bible, isn't it? I know you hear what I said. How many times did Pharaoh see God's handiwork? He heard God. But did he listen? Nope. Do you remember what Peter said on Thursday night after the Lord's Supper? Even if everybody else abandoned you, God, abandoned you, Jesus, not me. I'm not going to abandon you. And 4 or 5 hours later. Now, I love me some Peter. We're going to talk about Peter tomorrow. I love me some Peter. Sometimes I am Peter. For better or worse. But did Peter really listen? Because when the rooster crowed the next morning, what was Peter doing? How many of you remember what Peter was doing when the rooster crowed? If you'd have told Peter 5 hours, 6 hours, 12 hours before, you're going to be cussing and swearing that you don't know Jesus, what would have Peter said? You're crazy. What is wrong with you? I'd die for that man. In fact, he did say that, didn't he? And in less than a day, in less than a few hours, how many of you plan on doing that? None of you, right? I would love it if none of you ever did that. How many of you adults know people who would have said at some point in their life, I would never do any of this, and then wound up doing it? So, the purpose of the weekend, and what we're going to break here in just a minute, the purpose of the weekend is to help us listen more and to make decisions and learn how to make decisions and listen to God in the making of our decisions, which is why we started off this morning like this. I love y'all, even though I don't know half of your names. I love how attentive you are. We're going to take a 5 or 10 minute break. We'll sing a couple of songs before we start the next lesson. And I'm going to erase the board. I'm going to take a picture of it before because it's going to come back. We're going to revisit some of these things again later. Thanks, y'all.